Well, good morning, Grace Point Church. Y'all doing okay? And even if you're not, you're in the right place, right? We really are glad all of you are here, those of you who come regularly. Maybe this is your first time or your first time in a long time, and we really do mean it when we say welcome to Grace Point Church. We want to give you an opportunity to say hello to somebody next to you, maybe across the aisle if you want to go there. So stand up with me. Find someone to welcome to Grace Point Church this morning. As we begin this morning, that sounds a little hot right there. Okay. As we begin this morning, I want to share a verse with you from the Old Testament, Isaiah chapter 40, verse 29. And it's speaking of something that God does for us. Isaiah 40, 29 says this, "He," speaking of God, "God gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases strength." You ever felt faint? Some of you maybe literally have fainted. Maybe emotionally, relationally, you have felt faint before. And have you ever felt like you just didn't have enough power? And God says, you know what? When that happens, I will increase your strength. Would you pray with me, please? Father, we thank you that you are the God who can increase our strength. And not only can you, but you do. Lord, on this side of heaven, as you know, life is not always easy, not always fun. Sometimes we get worn out. And we pray during those times, Lord, we would look to you and allow you, through a variety of ways, to give us strength once again. Speak to us about that, not only through this verse, but other verses we'll be looking at in a little while. Holy Spirit, we invite you to be with us. Guide us through our worship. We are here to praise and worship you. And so allow us to do that in everything that we do, everything that we say. We pray these things together in Jesus' name, and everyone said amen.
Amen.
Amen. That's a good one. People just like you and me, people that you know, you work with, go to school with, people you bump into, people you see quite frequently at the store you go to, all they need is someone to say, hey, would love for you to come to Easter. You know how I got involved in church? I was not a Christian. I didn't grow up in a churchy Christian home at all. Not a bit. And someone invited me to go to their youth meeting, and then to their church. And I thought, what do I have to lose? And I went. And now I stand before you. Gosh, I was, how old was I? Like 15 or 16? 50 years later, still moved, changed, grateful for the good news that saved me. Because somebody said, come to church. Okay? We get more full every week, and I love this. So Easter, we're going to be full. So a couple of things. First of all, please do invite someone. Worst case scenario, they say thanks, but no thanks. Big deal. But somebody's going to say yes. So what we need you to do, these pews right down front here, we need our church members to come and sit in them. Squeeze all the way down and fit more in. We're going to have chairs all the way around the church that we can have. So please, and when you come, if you don't know somebody, you know, don't go grab them and hug them. They may not want that. But just say, hey, I'm Kevin. We're glad you're here at Grace Point. Something simple like that, we'll take care of it. And do we have any Easter card or invite cards left? I didn't see any out today. So you don't have to have the Easter invite card to invite people. Did you know that? Just invite them. Hey, we're a small church. Have some good stuff. There are a few back there. Thank you, Joe. We have some good things going on. If you're not going anywhere for Easter, would love for you to come to our church. We start at, what time do we start church? 10:30. So you got all the information you need. Good enough? Very good. Very good. She was born into a large family. I'm not kidding. She was the 20th of 22 children. She was born prematurely. She weighed only 4.5 pounds. She went through one illness after another, measles, mumps, scarlet fever, chicken pox, double pneumonia, and it was discovered that her left leg and foot were becoming weak. and deformed. She was told she had polio, a crippling disease that had no cure. The doctor indicated that she would never walk. She had weakness after weakness after weakness, but she did not give up. And finally, by age 12, she began to walk normally, without crutches, no braces, or corrective shoes that she'd been wearing previously. And it was then she decided that she wanted to become a world-class athlete in track and field, nonetheless. Take a look at this picture. Do you know who this lady is? That is Wilma Rudolph. Some of you may have heard of her. One of her weaknesses came great strength. In high school, she became a basketball star, and she set records for scoring and led her team to a state championship. She then became a track star, going to the first Olympic Games in 1956 at the age of 16. She won a bronze medal in the 4x4 relay, and on September 7th in 1960 in Rome, Wilma became the first American woman to win 3 gold medals in the Olympics. And this achievement led her to become one of the most celebrated female athletes of all time. In the midst of her weaknesses came great strength. Now, if you have your outlines, you've got the bulletin, take your outlines out. We're going to be talking today about embracing your weaknesses. Now, this is the second part of a sermon that I started last week. Embracing your weaknesses. We're going to finish this message we started. And the fact is, we talked about everybody has weaknesses. You can have emotional weaknesses, physical, financial, intellectual, relational weaknesses. We all have them. And what we usually do with our weaknesses is we deny them or we hide them. We pretend they don't exist. We ignore them, excuse them. We blame others for them. And God comes along and he says, I've got something totally different for you. I have something in store that's different for your weaknesses. He says, I want to not take all your weaknesses away. I want to use your weaknesses in your own life. And so you, in your weak state, can be a blessing and a help to others. Look at this verse in 1 Corinthians 1:27. God purposely chose what the world considers nonsense in order to put wise men to shame, and what the world considers weak in order to put powerful men to shame. God purposely chose that we would have a weakness or two or three or four or eight. Now, by weaknesses, I'm not talking about a sin. I'm not talking about things like a bad temper or character flaw. I'm not talking about something you can change. I'm talking about something that you have that you can't change, of no fault of your own. Let me give you this definition. Now, some of these are filled in, right? The first half of your outline is filled in because that's what we did last week, but I wanted to put it out there. Weaknesses are any limitation that I inherited and that I cannot change. There are things about which you sometimes say, God, why? I didn't ask for this. Why? I didn't deserve this. Why? And they limit your life. You can't change them. One example I shared with you last week, one of my personal weaknesses, is clinical depression. I can't change it. It's just what happened. It came. I know why it's there. It happened years ago, decades ago, and I still celebrate it today. Just kidding. I accept it. God uses it. I don't know if I ever celebrate it or not. So we're going to talk today about how to use your weaknesses. So go along, say that. Secondly, be grateful for your weaknesses. Paul said, I have cheerfully made up my mind to be proud of my weaknesses because they mean a deeper experience of the power of Christ. Why? Why should we be grateful? A couple of reasons. One, it guarantees God's help. Two, it prevents arrogance. It keeps you humble. Three, it causes you to value others. So you don't look at somebody and say, oh, look at their weaknesses. No, you have the same weakness, maybe not the same one, but weaknesses as well. It causes you to value others. And number four, it gives you a ministry. God can turn your greatest weakness into a strength by working through your weakness to bless others. Look at 2 Corinthians 1:4. God comforts us in our troubles. Why? so that we can comfort those in trouble with the comfort that we ourselves have received. Who can better help someone who's going through a certain kind of problem than somebody who's been through that same problem? And then we talked about how to use your weaknesses. You admit your weaknesses, you become grateful for your weaknesses, and this week, number three, fill it in. Here we go. All right? A third way. That we use our weaknesses is by sharing. You share your weaknesses. This is going to be the whole message right here. You share your weaknesses. We must openly share our weaknesses. We let our guards down. We take down our masks. We put aside our defenses. When you share your weaknesses with others, it's risky because you don't know how they're going to respond to that. There's a book that came out years ago called Why Am I Afraid to Tell You Who I Really Am? The answer to that question is this: I'm afraid to let you know who I really am, because if you don't like who I really am, then I'm up a creek because I'm all I've got. This is me. Here I am. And if you say, nope, don't want you, I reject you, then that can be painful. And so it has gotten us into a point where we wear masks and we pretend to be what we think you want us to be. The Bible says that's not healthy. Not a bit. But that's why sometimes it's scary and it's risky to be gut-level honest with others about our weaknesses. But God says, do it. Share it. You will never know how much God uses that type of testimony to speak to encourage to bless people around you. Now, why does it work that way? Why does it turn out that way? Let me give you four reasons. Number one, it works that way because it is, sharing your weaknesses is emotionally healthy. It's emotionally healthy. Maintaining an image of perfection takes an enormous amount, because everybody, you've got it all together when you know you don't, and everybody knows you don't too. It takes massive amounts of energy to live like that. It exhausts you. You feel stressed and anxious, afraid that at any moment somebody's going to really find out who you really are. And then you wonder what would happen. Think the opposite, though. If you drop down the mask and you let down your guard and you become honest, then you begin to feel emotionally liberated. And there's nothing that can liberate you emotionally more than just being real, genuine, and honest with people. It's extremely healthy to live that way. Look what James said in James 5:16. Confess your faults to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. Underline those two words, each other. You probably do a pretty good job of confessing your faults to God. You confess your faults to yourself. Yeah, I know that was wrong. What we need to do also is to confess our sins, our shortcomings, our weaknesses to each other. I've said this before, that revealing your feeling is the beginning of healing. You'll never be able to allow God to use your weaknesses until you share them with others. Now, be careful who you share them with. Don't pick the the group gossip. Don't do that. They don't know how to handle stuff. They totally do it in the wrong way. Find somebody you trust. Find somebody you know loves you. Find somebody you know who has your best interest in mind. And share with them. Folks, if you need a place where you can begin to be honest and real and share your weaknesses with others, I invite you to become a part of Grace Point Church. We are not perfect at all. We're not perfect. But remember, Grace Point Church is not a hotel for the saints. It is a hospital for the sinners. And people who are part of Grace Point Church, we know we're sinners. We're not like proud of it, but we know we are. And God has given us grace to to welcome anyone else who comes here that God wants us to minister to and to be a part of. If you think and believe you have no faults, no weaknesses, you've never blown it, this is not the place for you. Because as you let us love you and you love us, it's going to come out. But that's okay. No one has ever come to this church and left because somebody said, oh, they just think they're better than me. Never heard that. They may not like the preaching. Just kidding. No, they may not. Personally, no, I don't need to go there. I don't. No. All right, it's emotionally healthy. Secondly, sharing your weaknesses is spiritually empowering. It's spiritually empowering. In James 4:6, it says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Underline the words grace and humble, because these two words go together. Grace is God giving us what we need, not what we deserve. Grace is the power of God to change us. How do you get it? It says here that God gives it to the humble. How do you become humble? By being honest about your weaknesses. Humility is not denying your strengths. It's simply being honest about your weaknesses. So here's my strengths. Here's my giftedness. I do these things well. Now here are the places where I fail. Here are the places where I struggle. It's not one or the other. You need both. Share your weaknesses. Why? It's emotionally healthy. It's spiritually empowering. And number three, it's relationally attractive. It's relationally attractive. Look what Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 2:8. We were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our own lives as well. You see, folks, people like you more when you share your weaknesses. The fastest way to endear yourself to someone is to be honest with them and not pretend like you have it all together. We love people who are down to earth, honest, people who are open, people who are vulnerable and real, people who admit it when they blow it. On the other hand, we don't particularly like those who are hypocritical and phony and arrogant and fake. If you want to be people with and you become one, you need to be one who is open with you. You become open with them. When you go around sharing your strengths, that creates competition. But when you share your weaknesses, it creates community. Vulnerability is the key to fellowship. Share your weaknesses. Why? It's emotionally healthy, it's spiritually empowering, it's relationally attractive, and number four, we do it because sharing your weaknesses is a mark of leadership. Every one of us are leaders just in different areas, in different domains. Sometimes you're a leader in society. Sometimes you're a leader in your neighborhood or on your block. Sometimes with your family. Sometimes with your children or your aging parents. Sometimes you're at your career at work or where you are at school. We're all leaders at different times in different ways in different areas of life. And leadership can be summed up in one word, influence. If you were to go to school on the school playground at recess, within 5 minutes, you could pick out who the leaders were. Would you agree with that? You know who the leaders are on the recess? You know why you can pick them out? They're the ones who are influencing everybody else. Some folks said, oh, we want to play kickball. We want to do this. And somebody says, we want to do this. And everybody follows them. They're leading them at that particular time. All of us are leaders at some time in our lives in different places, under different circumstances. And if you want to have a positive impact on people, you need to be an influential leader. And the way you become an influential leader is through credibility. Credibility is the one essential requirement for leadership. If you don't have credibility, people won't trust you. If people don't trust you, you certainly can't influence them. How do you get credibility? By being vulnerable. By being open. By sharing your weaknesses with others. The most credible people I know are real, honest, and vulnerable people who say, here I am. Yeah, here's some things I do well, but here are things I'm struggling with. Look what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 11:1. He said, "Follow my example as I follow the example of Christ." Paul said to follow his example as he followed the example of Jesus. Jesus was the most vulnerable person who ever lived, and he's been the most influential person in all of human history. Jesus was real, he was genuine, he was honest, and because of that, he literally changed the world. We need to become people who share our weaknesses. You do that and watch how others will respond to you. All right, those are reasons why. Now, what do? What do we share? You share your story. Sharing your story is called a testimony. And the best way to share a testimony is to share your weaknesses. When somebody stands up to talk and they share all about their strengths, everything they've done, all the other things that are going to do, all of their accomplishments, that's not a testimony, that's a bragamony. We hear enough of those. Share your testimony. Here's some things in my life. Here's how God has used me. Here's some struggles. I struggle with this, but I've overcome them. But now here's where I am, and I'm still stuck here. You want people to listen to you? Start sharing your testimony. Well, what should be a part of your testimony? First, my failures. In Romans chapter 7, verses 18 and 19, it says this, Paul speaking. He says, "Yes, I know that nothing good lives in me. I mean, nothing good lives in the part of me that is earthly and sinful. I want to do the right things that are good, but I do not do them." Can you give an amen to that? Have you ever known what was right and you just keep on messing up in the same place at the same time? I want to do right. And this is Paul. This is Paul the Apostle, wrote 2/3 of the New Testament, led more people to Christ than any of us would ever be able to do, literally spread the gospel all across the Roman Empire. This is Paul. And he says, there is nothing good that lives in the part of me that is earthly and sinful. I want to do the right things. I want to do the things that are good, but I do not do them. I do not do the good things I want to do, but I do the bad things that I do not want to do. Wow. I could write my name out beside those verses. When I hear someone tell me of their accomplishments, I listen, and I'm happy for them, and I try to learn from them. Nothing wrong with that. But when someone tells me about their failures, I listen with a passion, because I fail. And when I hear someone sharing their failures, it makes me feel like I'm not what? The only one. Right now, think of something you failed at. I don't care if it was a year ago, 10 years ago, maybe this morning. What's something that you're struggling with, something that you're failing at, where you're weakest? In the 1990s, J.K. Rowling was an unemployed single mother on welfare, writing stories in a cafe on napkins while her baby slept next to her. She spent years on a novel about a young wizard, only to receive 12 rejection letters from the publishers. One by one, they said no. Rowling hit rock bottom. She was at her weakest, but she refused to quit. She mailed her manuscript to one more publisher, Bloomsbury Publisher. There, a CEO's 8-year-old daughter picked up the first chapter and loved it. And her excitement convinced the publisher to take a chance on the unknown author. And in 1997, Rowling's Harry Potter and the Philosopher's Stone finally hit the bookshelves, and the stories, the series that no one wanted at first, became a global phenomenon, selling over 500 million copies. At her absolute weakest point, This unemployed failure became the world's first female billionaire author. Not when she was doing great, but when everybody else said no. She came through. You ever heard her share that story? A lot of times when she speaks, that's what she shares. Share your failures. People need to hear that you are just like them in some areas. That in some areas of your life, you've too hit rock bottom just like they have. You want to share something that'll change a person's life, that'll begin to develop the relationship? Share your failures. Secondly, share your feelings. This knocks the men right out of the church right now. I'm not sharing my failures. I sure ain't sharing my feelings, right? Oh my gosh. Look what Paul said in 2 Corinthians 6:11. He said, "We have spoken freely to you in Corinth and have opened our hearts to you." This is more easily accomplished for some folks than others. But we need to get to a point where we share our feelings, because it's healthy for us to share them. And it's healthy for one with whom you share, so they can identify, so they can realize they are not the only ones. Sometimes, have you ever felt, I bet everybody in this building, at some point in time, you have felt, I'm the only one who feels this way. Now, when you're feeling it, it's okay. You really do think that, but that's not true. You are not the only one. But you'll never know that you're not the only one if someone doesn't come up and say, hey, you know what? I've been there. I felt that way before. Share your failures. Share your feelings. And the next one, share your faults. Wonderful testimony, huh? Share your faults. 2 Corinthians 3:5 says, we are not saying that we can do this work ourselves. It is God who makes us able to do all that we do. Share areas of your life where you fall short in and can do something about it. You may not have improved greatly in a particular area. Some faults you may have could be things like impatience or temper, bad judgment, overeating. Again, everyone knows you're not perfect. Share some of those faults. I'm telling you, if you share some of your faults with somebody and they're listening and you have a connection, and you share some of those faults with them, you just watch them. You watch their face. You watch their response. And then put your ears on. Because they're going to share right back with you. You build that trust relationship. One way you build it is you be the first one to become vulnerable, to share your feelings, your failures, your faults. And you just watch what it does in their life. You share your failures, feelings, faults. And next, you share your frustrations. Share your frustrations. Paul said this in 2 Corinthians 1, verses 8 and 9. Brothers and sisters, we want you to know about the trouble we suffered in Asia. We had great burdens there that were beyond our own strength. We even gave up hope of living. Truly, in our hearts, we believed we would die. But this happened so we would not trust in ourselves, but in God, who raises people from the dead. Share your frustrations. Paul said, man, we thought it was over. We don't know what the situation was, but he thought we weren't going to come back from this. Share those frustrations. Share the things that irritate you, that aggravate you, that annoy you. Things like having to wait for someone who's not on time. Any type A's here? Married or have people that are type D's? Things that are frustrating. Who else here counts the number of items the person in front of you has to make sure they don't have more than 12 items when they go through the... Am I the only one? I'm like up next to their cart going... Libby's had to reel me in. She's had to reel me in on that. What things frustrate you? Just share some of those. Even if the other person can't identify with that particular frustration, at least they know they're not the only ones who have frustrations in life. Share your failures, feelings, faults, frustrations, and next, share your fears. Share your fears. 1 Corinthians 2, 3 through 5 says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is the Father who is full of mercy and comfort. We share in the many sufferings of Christ in the same way. Much comfort comes to us through Christ." Share things that scare you, things that you worry about because you can't control them, uncertainties, reservations you have about decisions you make. Am I really doing a good job as a parent? Am I going to ever get over this illness? Am I facing death? Is my business going belly up? If you were to survey the Bible, you would see that God worked in great ways through weak people. And that God excels in turning weakness into strength. Look at this verse in Hebrews chapter 11, verses 32 and 34. It says, "I do not have time to tell you about Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and the prophets, whose weaknesses was turned to strength." Weakness turned to strength. Think about some of the Bible characters. Think about Moses. You remember that Moses had a terrible problem with anger. He got angry one day and he killed an Egyptian. He got kicked out of Egypt. He got angry and struck a rock when God told him to speak to the rock. He was held out of the promised land. He got angry and threw the Ten Commandments down and had to get a new set. Can you imagine? Can you imagine? The Ten Commandments. Boom! If I was him, I'd have started running. Not that you can outrun God. Anger was Moses' main weakness. And yet in the Bible, there are only two people called meek, which means anger under control. Two people called meek, Jesus and Moses. God began to control Moses as Moses gave his weaknesses up to God. And he and Jesus, the only two people in the Bible about whom it says, they are meek. And God took Moses' greatest weakness and turned it into his greatest strength, even so that Moses could patiently lead 1 million whining people in the desert before they got to go into the promised land. How about David? We all think of King David. David wrote the 23rd Psalm, and you think, well, Mr. Purity, David, what a great guy. But let's be reminded of what David did. David stole a man's wife, he committed adultery with her, and then he had her husband killed. Does that sound like Psalm 23, David? Not a bit. Not a bit. But God worked in his life, and God changed David's life until later he became a man after God's own heart. How about Abraham? In the Bible, Abraham was called the father of faith, yet when you look at his life, his greatest weakness was his lack of faith. He doubted, he worried, and on two occasions, an enemy was approaching, and Abraham told his wife Sarah to go tell the enemies that she was his sister so they wouldn't kill him to get to her. Well, that was really manly, wasn't it? How about Peter, New Testament? Jesus came to Peter and he said, "You are a rock. You'll be called a rock from now on because you're stable." But Peter was anything but stable. He was impulsive, constantly putting his foot in his mouth. He said, "I'll never deny you, Lord." 3 times he denied Jesus. On another occasion, Peter pulled out a sword and cut off a guy's ear. And that was before Mike Tyson tried to bite Evander Holyfield's ear off in the famous boxing match. But I'll tell you this, with that sword he cut off the guy's ear, he wasn't going for his ear, he was going for his neck. He just missed. And yet Peter, God used his greatest weakness, turned it into his greatest strength, and he was the leader of the New Testament church. All of God's giants have been weak men and weak women. Jacob was a deceiver, a manipulator, a schemer. He spent all of his life scheming to get his way. And he made one mess after another, and then he'd run from it. And one night he had a dream that he was wrestling with God, and he said, I'm not going to go. I'm not going to give in until you bless me. And God said, okay, I'll bless you. And he grabbed Jacob's thigh and pulled it out of socket. Now, the thigh is one of the strongest muscles in the body. And God went after his strength. And from that day on, Jacob was blessed. But he walked with a limp for the rest of his life. A reminder to Jacob that from now on, he had to depend upon God in the midst of his weakness. No longer could Jacob run away from his problems, and his name was changed from Jacob to Israel, the father of the Hebrew nation. Listen to me. Fill your name in here. God wants to take the greatest weakness in your life and turn it into the greatest strength that he can work through. So share your weaknesses with others for your sake and for the sake of the kingdom of God. Of course, the greatest example of God turning weakness into strength is when Jesus died on the cross. Look at these verses, 2 Corinthians 13:4. Although he, Jesus, died on the cross in weakness, Jesus now lives by the mighty power of God. We too are weak, but we live in him and we have God's power. So what about at Grace Point Church? Time maybe for some of us, maybe all of us, to reevaluate if we're living in the midst of our weaknesses or we're just denying them and saying, nope, I've got all this. Listen, we saying that we live in our weaknesses doesn't mean we deny the power and strength of the resurrection of Jesus. We're going to be talking about that in just a few weeks. I mean, in the midst of our weakness, the power of the resurrection tells me that one day, we don't have weaknesses anymore. One day, they're going to be gone. One day, we're going to be the very person that God created us to be in the first place. Man, that'll be so great. But while we live down here, we claim God's promises and we live with our weaknesses. And the good news is, God promises to work through your weaknesses, to grow you, and to bless and grow others. Got it? Oh, two of you got it. Let's pray together. God, I want to thank you for graciously, lovingly working through our weaknesses. We are weak. We confess it. Help us to deal with the weaknesses the way you've taught us today, to share them, to admit them, and to allow you to use them to influence others for the good news of Jesus Christ. Now, God, when we realize our weaknesses, sometimes I know that that can make us feel pretty badly. So, Holy Spirit, bring us your comfort and your strength while we do this. And God, not just admit to ourselves and to you, but give us somebody in our lives, give us a group of people in our lives that we feel comfortable with. Say, you know what, guys, here's some areas of my weaknesses, and I'm failing, and I'm falling on my face. And it's frustrating and hurtful. And help us to share those things with people who will lovingly respond. And then get us to a point where we become that person to someone else. Now, Father, bless our time of response. Whatever that response is for each of us, pray that we'll make it and follow through with it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Ladies and gentlemen, Pastor Kevin.
All right, couple of things to bring to your attention here. First of all, Easter. We talked about Easter just a little while ago. Can't tell you how important it is for you to invite somebody. Just invite somebody. Hope you'll be here. You bring some family and friends with you, but invite someone to come. You don't know it, like that guy said. We're going to run across him this week. Just say, hey, going to Easter anywhere? Just come on to our church. Second thing, real quickly, the Young Adults Flyer. Have you guys seen this flyer? I love this. You're invited, Young Adults Club, 32826, 5:30 at the Bohemian Bull on James Island. Can I go? Yeah, you're the pastor, right. So if you're young adults, and I'm not quite sure how to qualify that, I hope that you'll be there. There's some of these around the church, some on the back tables. Pick one of those up and be a part of that. Libby and I actually are going to come by, right? Isn't that what we said? Yeah, we're
Kevin,
gonna...
you and I need to play cornhole against any young adult out there.
Yeah, right. Last time I played cornhole, I hurt your back. I hurt my back, man. And last not least, though, two years ago, wasn't it, Jonathan? 2 years ago, one of our members, Jonathan, went on a mission trip to Guatemala. And 2 years later, he's back, ready to go again. And so 4 people from our church are going to be going with him and to our to Guatemala to do a great work down there. And I want to see if there's any way possible you can help support that as one of our church members or one of our guests if you want to financially. Now, let me say this. I know a lot of talk in our church lately has been finances. We always want our members to give, to tithe regularly. Then came Growing Grace, and we're saying, give more, right? And that's good. We're doing great. We're going to show you some of the things we've done already. And now we're saying, give more. Here's one thing I talked with Libby about that I think it might have been yesterday. And I can preach stuff that I've not experienced. You understand that, right? I can preach the truth of God even if I haven't experienced it in my life yet. Does that make sense? So I've always heard you can't outgive God. And I always thought sometimes, really? And then Libby and I were into a couple things we're giving to in our church to Growing Grace. And now this is an opportunity. And was it yesterday, I think we talked, for the first time together, we realized you really can't outgive God. So if you can, or if you trust God enough to give to this, you can do it online. Matter of fact, do you see that picture? There's QR codes up there, and you can hit that. It'll take you right to our church website, and you can give to this. Now, if you can give $1, $100, $1,000, it's going to be helpful. And that makes us a part of the mission trip that they're going on. Does that make sense? Got it? All right, that's it. Jason, it's yours.
Yeah. All right, let's have a word of prayer and take that excitement with you as you go. Let us pray. Lord, thank you for all the folks who come out today, the children, the youth, the adults, all of us together. Worshiping with you. Lord, thank you that we can take those weaknesses in our life and we can be using them and sharing your word in a great way. Help us as we prepare for Easter. We get ready for a great celebration there to invite folks we meet each and every day. We love you. We thank you now. We pray it in Jesus' name. And everybody said,
Amen.
Amen.